Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to gather together and to share your word. We just thank you, Father, that your purpose is accomplished tonight, whatever that may be, not only for us here, but also for those who will hear this message on in any other fashion. So we just give you the praise, honor, and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start teaching. It's basically called Be Filled with the Spirit, and just see where the Holy Spirit takes us on this. But I don't believe there's ever been a more critical hour for people, the people of God, to come into the place where they have a revelation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Still, even up until this time, in vast multitudes or areas in the church, the Holy Spirit is something that's still out there, apart. And it can't be that way. That defeats the whole purpose of God, and it defeats everything that Christ accomplished for us. And also, it precludes one entering in to the fullness of the authority and power that is theirs in Christ. So we're going to look at a number of scriptures, and I'm going to jump around. I've got most of them down here, and just share a few things that God's placed on my heart about this, because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and not only filled, but filled to overflowing. And we need to be a people who are more conscious of the Holy Spirit's ministry than the devil's ministry. You know, we talk about control and what the devil does, and we talk about demon possession and what the devil does. But how about Holy Spirit possession? And how about the love of God controlling our lives in every aspect? So, you know, we need to really get a clear vision of spiritual reality concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start off in Psalm 25:9 in the King James. It says, "The meek he will guide in judgment or discernment, and the meek he will teach his way." Again, we have to get a revelation of the fact that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14:26 in the Amplified says, "But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name to represent me and act in my behalf, he will teach you all things." Has anybody ever meditated on that for very long? We realize that we have anointed men and women in the body of Christ to minister. But I'll tell you one thing. When you take everything down to the bare root of what God's doing, those men and women are anointed of God. They're taught of the Holy Spirit. And what is releasing, what is released behind the words they speak is the Holy Spirit, is the anointing of God. And it's so important for us to get that, because, boy, now I'm beginning to understand why Paul wrote, told us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because in this hour, there are any number of schemes of the enemy to get the people of God distracted. Anything he can do, and in most cases, subtly, there's people that are out in the cold, hard denominations that don't even believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But also there is the subtle plan to get people distracted in very subtle ways, and even to deceive them into leaning upon their own understanding instead of relying upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit without them knowing it. And I always say they should know it. But nonetheless, that's the devil's scheme. And so we're going to look at some things and just talk about some things that, and we've heard them many times before here, but again, we need to keep hearing these things, because we need to be in that position. And the people who are faithful to God, not only in this hour, but in the past, they are going to enter into a place in the not-too-distant future, I believe, wherein they will walk nonstop supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit until the catching away of the church. Now, that's spiritual reality. But there is a reason why there's a remnant. But nonetheless, we need to be a people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and then perhaps God will use us to a great degree to get people free and to get out from under the bondage of self and under the control of the Holy Spirit, under the control of the love of God. He is the Spirit of love. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth," or absolute truth. Not only all the truth, but absolute truth. "For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come." I think one of the big problems up until this time in the church has been the fact that people have looked at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit separately, but not in the right way. Of course, we know they're separate in one sense, but we also know they're one in another sense. And the fact is that, you know, what the Father is saying affects Jesus, the person of Jesus and his character, and what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's a cycle. It's all together. They can't be divided at all. And so if people are caught in the trap of reading the Word of God and not depending on the Holy Spirit to reveal, he is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, not depending on him fully to reveal that, then we have all manner of chaos. And we know that. We see that. But in these days, only those who are walking by revelation will overcome. I mean, there's a lot more to that, but that's a fact. And so we need to be a people, again, who have a personal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified says, "If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit." I mean, these are wonderful words, and you know, we need to be a people whose hearts are filled with revelation concerning the movements of God, the character of God. You know, we've talked quite a bit about the importance of having intimate fellowship with God. Well, there's many reasons for that. Obviously, because we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and we want to love him, and we want to be with him. But in being with him, it sets in motion a lot of different things. Number one, we begin to know his character. And then when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, everything he says lines up with the Word, which also lines up with the heart of God. You see, it's indivisible. Unfortunately, the devil, who is the divider, has attempted many schemes to get people in a place. It doesn't matter what the scheme is. His end goal is to keep them away from the power of the Holy Spirit abiding in the Christian. Because once a Christian, and I'm going to go into this in more detail, but once the Christian has a revelation of their authority in Christ, and once they have a revelation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they become unstoppable. And that's exactly what the glorious church is going to be. 1 John 2:27 in the Amplified says, "But as for you, the sacred appointment, the unction, the anointing which you received from him abides permanently in you." That is the will of God. "So then you have no need that anyone, flesh and blood, should instruct you. But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide, live never to depart, rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do," and I might also say has empowered you to do. So the whole point of this is, again, not that flesh and blood can't minister the word, but not flesh and blood that are speaking or acting apart from the Holy Spirit. Very, very important, because it's when somebody speaks or acts by the Holy Spirit, that's constituted as representing God perfectly. And of course, we know that people who are not seeking after self-glory, who are seeking the glory of God, God looks at them as representing him perfectly. And so it's not really flesh and blood that are teaching us. It's the anointing abiding within the men or women of God that is coming forth and ministering to us. And ultimately, of course, God gets all the glory, because it's a perfect representation and with perfect accuracy of exactly what's on the heart of God, and it's empowered by his Spirit. It's a very simple concept, but it's absolute. And unfortunately, up until this time, and again in many areas, people do not have a revelation of this, and so even in their best intention, they are ministering the Word of God and quote-unquote understanding the Word of God, but always with a view to self being at the core. Either self will be at the core or God will be at the core. And now the sword is coming to absolutely divide between that which is of the spirit and that which is of soul or the flesh. Many children of God have little knowledge of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this must change before the church begins to walk in the fullness of the authority she has been given in Christ. This must change. Everybody knows about the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm talking to people who are seeking God. But the fact is, you know, we need to have a revelation of every aspect of all that God has provided for us in Christ, particularly in this area. In Matthew 28:18, it's written that Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth." Well, that covers it all. And he says, "Therefore, you go." Well, of course, he never meant you go, just because, you know, I was given that, but now you go. I mean, the Bible's written with a view to the absoluteness of God, the plan of God, the fullness of his purpose, the love of God, and the entire and complete redemption and his purpose is being revealed to mankind. And so, you know, by now we need to be those who understand that he has a mighty plan. And I still haven't seen anything, and I myself am not capable of doing it, of expressing exactly what's going to happen. You're not going to read it in a local newspaper. You're not going to read it in your local Christian magazine. You're going to get it as a revelation from God, and you're going to be prepared by the Holy Spirit to walk in a power that this earth's not seen yet, to the degree, at least the corporate degree. It is important for each and every believer to bring themselves into a position of total and absolute submission to the Holy Spirit in every facet of their lives. And I'm going to go on to talk about a few things, but one of the most important things is that we need to have a sensitive heart. There is a very fine line between having a sensitive heart and becoming insensitive in an area. Now, I'm talking about people who are truly seeking the will of God, because the people who aren't seeking God and who have been practicing their own thing, their heart is just growing harder with each passing day, and they're opening the door to darkness. Well, the exact opposite has happened to those who are truly seeking first the kingdom. As they remain sensitive before God, the revelation knowledge of God's word is exploding forth, the plan of God, and in that process, the empowerment to accomplish all that God desires his church to accomplish in this last hour. We're talking now about the greater works that Jesus talked about. These things are real, and we need to be believing them at this time. Every child of God must have a revelation of the divine requirements set out for them in the Word of God. That's, of course, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. That needs to be established in our hearts in this hour. It's been preached, and it's amazing that people can bypass that and then expect to serve God, because you can't. It all begins there. Everything that's written in the Scriptures, everything as far as the plan for the God's plan for the church goes, is based on that. And so first we need to have a revelation of that burning in our hearts, because when we do, then we will, that will be our bearings. That's where we will live, you know, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, whatever that may mean to us individually as we walk in obedience day to day. But this is real. We've had this preached a long time now, a lot of things preached a long time. And those who are, every child of God walking the face of this earth is going to be called to accountability concerning the revelation in their heart, or lack of thereof. Those who have revelation, who are truly seeking God, will be in the right place doing the righteous thing, and those who aren't won't. And it's that simple. I've seen example after example, and I've seen much tragedy, and we will see more. But the fact is, God is raising us up as a people, as an environment. We're not the only ones throughout the body of Christ in order to be prepared, because people will come to an awakening. They will come to a realization in the days ahead. If they have any heart towards God, then they will have that opportunity to awaken and step into their kingdom position. But if not, then they will run further into rebellion. Until the child of God begins to come to the full realization of this truth, that's the divine requirement, in their heart, they will be bound by carnality to some degree, and will not be found walking as a representative of the true Christian life. Now, that's one thing that's going to happen, as we know, before the catching away of the church. There is going to be a holy remnant in the earth. And whatever, you know, as people say, well, what do you think God can accomplish through that? Anything he wants to. And that should be interesting, because I've never known God to come up short in anything that he set his hand to. Turn over to Hosea 8. It's one of the few scriptures I'll look at a bit. I mean, on the one hand, you know, I have compassion for the people who, for whatever reason, have put themselves or allowed themselves to come into a bad position. But I'll tell you, it's being preached. What every last Christian on the face of this earth needs to hear to come into the fullness of all that God has for them in Christ. It's being preached, and it will continue to be preached. Hosea 8, verse 1, put the trumpet to your lips. Like an eagle, the enemy comes against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. Now, an interesting scenario here. It says, like an eagle. doesn't say an eagle. It's not representative of the true prophetic. It says like an eagle. So what does that mean? It means that eagle is up here, and he's looking down, and he's seeing something to swoop down on. Well, guess what? We're not supposed to be down here. We're supposed to be up here. So the fact is, for us today, we need to be those people who are like an eagle swooping down on the enemy, and not be those who are in fellowship with the world and remain in bondage to the world and its ways, because he is going to come against anybody he can in that position. But he can only come down. He can't go up to that place. Very simple positioning, but boy, it's going to determine a lot of things. It's going to determine everything. So they rebelled against my law. Now, that's why they're down there. They're in rebellion. I guarantee you anybody, any child of God who is in rebellion is in the world in, to some degree, and they're in the wrong positioning. And God is coming. That's one of the first manifestations of the outpouring of the Spirit. Of course, will be to bless his people and strengthen us to go on to right through to the end. But it will also judge any ground of rebellion in the midst of God's people. I mean any ground of rebellion. Paul wrote it. He said all things will become evident. And fire can do that. We'll just be going about the Father's business. But many things will happen. The one of them will be that all rebellion will be exposed. And that's good news. Because if there's people out there walking rebellion, they may not realize it right now. But there'll come a day very shortly where they'll be glad there is a refuge to come into. That is a deadly thing. When you see the Holy Spirit encounter the spirit of rebellion, it's not a pretty sight for the spirit of rebellion, I can tell you. There is no tolerance in God for rebellion. Absolutely none. Just in the same way he threw Satan out of heaven, he will deal with that spirit and those who are aligned with that spirit. So it is important. And there's no reason for any believer or any child of God to be in rebellion against God. The very fact is that we're supposed to be in this earth living for him alone. It says in verse 2, they cry out to me, my God, we of Israel know thee. But he says, Israel has rejected the good or the righteous. The enemy will pursue him. But see, the good news is that in the glorious church, we're going to pursue the enemy. And guess what? Until he's consumed. And we're going to be faithful to the call upon David's life to pursue the enemy until he's consumed. And many people are going to be set free. And there's going to come a point where we get marching orders in the Spirit. Very, very distinct orders that absolutely lay devastation upon Satan and his schemes. And in that devastation, people may run further away from God, but many will awaken and be set free. In this last hour, Satan has begun to come against the household of God in a very intense and ferocious way, knowing that his time is short. See, he still believes he's going to win because he's deceived. There's no truth in him. But the fact is, he cannot deny the existence of the spiritual pain that is being inflicted upon him every time a child of God prays a righteous prayer. Every time a child of God walks in obedience and walks in that righteousness of God and is righteously motivated. He cannot deny the fact there is pain coming. And so he knows, like a large cloud in the horizon. And that is going to be a wonderful thing. He's going to be put to flight. But in knowing that his time is short, he's going to get desperate. He's going to begin to strike anything he can strike. And it comes down to this for the children of God. They need to be walking in revelation knowledge. They need to be walking in the fullness of their covenant with Christ. He can sense the continually greater presence of the Holy Spirit in many parts of the body of Christ with each passing day. And this strikes great fear and terror into his heart. Very, very important. These things are real. I mean, the devil can sometimes act like nothing's happening, nothing's affecting him. But when you remain faithful, you remain patient, and you pray righteously, it will avail much. It doesn't matter what it looks like or what you can see or what you can't see. If you stay with it, you'll see some things. Or you'll know some things, even if you don't see them. But if you stay with it, it will inflict pain on him. That is good news. We get an open crack at the devil in this last hour. And I mean, any Christian who truly loves God should just be chomping at the bit to get on with that. If people just are walking in self, then they really don't, you know, the devil's just in Africa, as you say, Bill. So, and because of these things, Satan must continually attempt to keep the believer who has not received a revelation of the divine requirement and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I might add fire, in darkness. He must keep them there. Because for a person to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in fire, it means one thing. It means light. And it means a revelation of God's character, and also a revelation of all that Jesus accomplished at Calvary as far as Satan's defeat. And I believe it was last Sunday. They kind of go together on the Sundays. But the fact is, the Christian must come to a place where they have no fear of Satan. I'm not talking about not walking in diligence. Of course, we have to be diligent. But there's a difference between walking by a rabid dog and letting him get close enough to your leg to bite it, and walking outside a fenced area knowing you're safe. And that's the way it is with the covenant of God. We need to be in that right position. If a child of God continually neglects, in these most critical and glorious days, the wondrous provision of divine empowerment they have been given in the Holy Spirit, they will be an easy target for the destruction and death that Satan is seeking to inflict upon every child of God who by an act of their will chooses to make themselves a stranger to the covenants of promise found in the Word of God. Now, the reality of this thing is that there are many people out there who are living under the guise of a false security. Now, you know, I'm not going to go into all the details because there's many, many different schemes. But the fact is that many people have faith in their money. Many people look like they're prospering. Maybe even their ministry's prospering. But I'll tell you, unless that ministry, unless that life, unless that family has been built on the foundation of God's word, then it is in vain and it will fall. It will be exposed. And they will leave themselves unhedged and open to the attack of the enemy. That shouldn't happen. Jesus didn't die so that we could leave doors open for the devil, for him to come in and destroy and devastate the children of God and the household of God. The failure to adhere to the fullness of the wonderful salvation which the Heavenly Father has provided for each of his children in Christ shall surely result in some form of tragic devastation at the hands of the evil one and his forces. Again, salvation, soteria, deliverance from every temporal evil. What that encompasses to us, the Greek word encompasses, is all that Christ accomplished at Calvary. And again, getting back to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we need to be a people who have come to the place of depending upon God for all things, acknowledging God in all our ways. You know, that takes discipline. You know, that means bringing every thought captive to a revelation, whether we have one or not in the moment. We need to seek one or go back to the place where God has shown us. We must do that. Because from what I've seen, and I really don't know a lot about what's going on there, I shared something earlier in the prayer session, those are blatant attacks against people. But the attacks are much more subtle against those who have been faithful to seek first the kingdom, who've been faithful to enter into their kingdom position and move towards it continually. Much more subtle. But if we are diligent to fellowship with God, then we are going to have that constant source of light flowing up from within us, exposing, dividing between what's of soul and what's of spirit. And we should not be a people who are caught unawares in this hour at all. And especially in this environment, that is for sure. The true Christian life and calling is not some game. It is a profound spiritual reality that is about to manifest corporately in the earth and literally turn it upside down. That is the spiritual reality of this age. But only those, and I go back to the bridge vision, which really is an absolute gateway, you know, to where we're going. Nobody's crossing that bridge into Zion with any element of self-desire or self-agenda or the seeking after self-glory. It's not going to happen. And that's good news for us, for those who are truly seeking God. What that means is there will not be an enemy in the camp. And that's a glorious thing. We don't have time to do that. God is giving marching orders to the church. We're going after the devil, and we're going after him big time. And you can't have an enemy in your camp. You'd be too busy running. Luke 11:13 says, If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What did James say? You have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. Well, I mean, it'd be hard to imagine anybody asking for the Holy Spirit to empower their own works. Maybe they do. I don't know. That won't be answered. But the fact is, if people truly seek God's empowerment and they ask him for the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will come. in whatever way they need. I mean, in the early years, I used to ask for the Holy Spirit, but what I didn't realize was it was going to mean 3 months of testing. But that's all right. I finally got up enough courage to pray the prayer again, and then finally realized, okay, this is for my benefit. And, of course, by now, we should know that whatever needs to be done will be done. But we need to be asking for the Holy Spirit. We need to be asking for grace. We need to be accessing that grace by faith. I don't know how much I'm going to get into this, but I kind of want to. I just see in the Spirit, out in the church, in many areas of the church, I see a false faith. I see a natural faith in the guise of a spiritual faith or a divine faith, and it's not. It's a faith, it's a natural faith with a spiritual dressing, but it's absolutely useless. You can't access grace with that faith. Faith, you have to have a revelation of God's word, of God's will, before you can exercise faith. And you have to have the love of God shed abroad in your heart before you'll even desire to exercise faith. Faith works by love. Love manifests in obedience, and you have to have a revelation of God's will to exercise faith. Otherwise, the very thing that we exercise faith in, then, is a natural faith, born out of presumption, born out of mental ascension. And there is an entire network throughout the body of Christ in many areas, and that's got to be broken down. That's one thing the fire will take down. People need to understand that, I won't go into this much more right now, but I will say this, that many a false doctrine, these ethereal doctrines that sound so good, but do not have as their root and their reality the faith, a divine faith, they leave people in a position of non-resistance to the devil. I heard this years ago, and it stuck with me. It just burned on my heart many, many years ago. And I may have been Kenneth Hagin who said it, but he said something very, very profound by the power of the Holy Spirit. He said this. He said, any word, any doctrine that puts the people of God in a position of non-resistance to Satan and his forces is false. It's that simple. And, of course, the devil would love to have people think that they're in faith, but I'll tell you, the day is now coming. He's going to attack. He's going to attack whatever he can attack. But I'll tell you one thing, he won't attack those who are walking in absolute faith, working through a perfect love. He may attack them, but no, it won't. They will turn and put him to flight. So we need to be a people who have a revelation of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by revelation of God's word, and we need to be those people. See, when people are diligent and they're faithful to do what God and what the Holy Spirit tells them to do, they're not going to fall into all these traps. They're never going to put themselves in a position of non-resistance to the devil and his schemes, because everything can look really, really good. It can even look like people are prospering. I'm sure there was a lot of people that David ran across in those years that he was in flight that looked like they were prospering. And hence came the warning. It said, don't be envious of sinners. Don't be envious of those who appear like they're prospering. Well, they'll get theirs. And they will, and that will happen today. We must be patient. And again, I mean, one of the chief attacks of the enemy in the Third Day Church, or the Glorious Church, will be jealousy and envy. And of course, the counter to that is for us to walk in the spirit of the cross and to walk in the love of God, because when you do that, that spirit can't touch you. But it can certainly touch those people who are seeking their own position or their own agenda, because that's somebody jealous, the devil tries to use that to get them perturbed and cause division. But we won't do that. It is the will of the Father for each and every one of his children to be filled with his Spirit at all times. He knows, and so should we, that we will need to operate continually in the fullness of our salvation in Christ to get the job done accurately and thus reap the maximum fruit and glory for the kingdom that he has purposed. That's the reality. That's just the way it works. We need the Holy Spirit. Anyone attempting to serve God in any way without being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit is in sin and presumption. And a maintained state of presumption will eventually lead to full-blown rebellion against the will and purposes of God. This is spiritual reality. This is what happens. You know, every person in the face of this earth and that belongs to the church needs to do a heart check day in and day out. Because hardness of heart in this hour will lead to fullness, full-blown rebellion against the purposes of God. And now we start to get into the Civil War. I mean, you can see the logistics of this thing coming down. You can see what Satan has planned. You can see in the story of Korah's rebellion how he and the 250 men of renown doubted Moses. What was Moses coming down with? The revelation of holiness. And that is a key thing in this hour for us. That is one of the, not only will we, but as it's been preached, we know many times, we will demonstrate it. And that will be the difference. And so many who have that spirit of thinking they've arrived will be jealous. And they will think that they've already arrived. Who are you? But it will be very short, that war. Because in the same way that Korah's rebellion was judged, so will the rebellion against the glorious church in this last hour. If the child of God refuses to acknowledge the fact that it is only through the Holy Spirit that they can receive the Father's direction, as well as his strength for accomplishing the given task, they will constantly lean upon their own understanding, and this will keep them in darkness. Again, this is this whole cycle of fellowship with God. When we're in right fellowship with God, there is a continual impartation to us to desire the wisdom of God, a continual impartation and a desire to acknowledge him in all of our ways, just to see his wisdom. I mean, regardless of what God has us do, it's worth it just to see what he's going to do in any given situation. And that's the type of attitude we will have if we have sensitive hearts towards God. I mean, I'm not saying anything different here, but the point is, the hour's getting later as we go, and we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Again, the purpose of the Father. Hebrews 10:12 says, "He," or the Father, "disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness." In other words, he wants us to be exactly like he is. The refusal to believe the truth that whatever the Father commands, he also empowers, we have to believe that. Because if we don't believe that, we're going to if he tells us to do something, we're going to try and do it in our own strength and make a mess. That's no good. That's not going to set anybody free. There's so many people remain in bondage just because the church has not entered into the fullness of the authority that's theirs in Christ. The devil has been allowed in many areas just to run rampant and to actually control vast numbers of God's children. And they'll have the chance to get free in this last hour, I could tell you, because there will be a remnant that comes forth and exposes all these lies and all these schemes. And they will know spiritual reality head on. So we need to have that revelation that what God commands us to do, regardless of how small or how big, he will empower us. And he will provide for us whatever we need. This will always, if continued, make that believer more and more uncertain of their position in Christ Jesus. This is what I mean. If you practice leaning on your own understanding, if you try to take the reins in any way, there's a lot of strange things out there and a lot of strange attitudes, but over a period of years, our minds should be renewed to the place where, you know, we don't think we're interrupting God if we, you know, bring something too small to him or something foolish like that. I mean, that's just silly. I mean, we have to see ourselves as children, and I mean little children. I mean, I know we're adults, but I mean, spiritually, we're still little children in the sense of going to him. When you're 3 years old or 4 years, you go to them for everything. And that's the way we should be with God. We never outgrow that. And I'm sure throughout eternity, that tenderness and that affection that a small child has for a loving father will always remain. And so if people practice leaning upon their understanding, they lose sight of their salvation, the fullness of their salvation. They lose sight of the anointing abiding within. They lose sight of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is because of these things that they will abandon the command to walk by faith and not by sight. That's really the root of why people are caught in that natural faith. So they lose sight of that, walking by faith and not by sight, and sin, not grace, and darkness will continue to abound in the life of that child of God. It's grace that's to be abounding towards us, not darkness, not sin, and the bondage of sin, until such a time as true repentance comes. What does true repentance mean? It means depart from the place that person's in and go right in to the fullness of loving the Lord your God with all your heart. That's what true repentance is. I mean, from that state, God can do miraculous things. We're going to see people who've been wandering around for years doing only God knows what enter into the fullness of their kingdom position very quickly. Why? because they're going to have a full and a deep and a true repentance before God. And that's one of the elements of that fire will bring. It will expose, it will burn, and so people will either run or they will stand in it and get purified. But they'll do one of those two things. The scheme of the evil one to separate the child of God from the Word, thereby moving them into an area where, in constantly leaning upon their own understanding, they will have no inclination to either be led by or be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, it's such an amazing thing when we fellowship with God, when we put His Word first in our lives, these inclinations rise up. We're inclined to do it. It's not a struggle. We're inclined to do it. And, you know, I'm going to deal with some scriptures here a little later. But we need to understand the futility of doing anything apart from Christ. Very, very, very important. Turn over to 2 Peter 1. This, of course, is really makes clear the heart of God concerning His desire for us to be like Him and to be empowered by Him in all things. Starting in verse 2, Peter writes, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power," that's the Holy Spirit, "has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." Now, how do you get around that statement? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Whatever, you know, if a person really has a desire for the fullness of their destiny in Christ, there's your answer right there. He's provided everything. Why do we try in our own strength to accomplish that only that which God can? It is futile. And that will be seen in this last hour. "Pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him," or the revelation of Him, "who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them," or through a revelation of them, "you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." These are magnificent verses. The divine nature. And again, you know, it's just hard to get away from this, but when we're in right relationship with God and when the Word is given preeminence in our lives, then there will be a constant light, a constant empowerment to see that which is of the soul or trying to rise up from the soul, and that which is coming from the Holy Spirit through our spirit, from the very throne room of God. It can be that clear. You know, we're not, just because we're in this earth, in this world, doesn't mean we have to walk around in a haze. I mean, God made the provision. And of course, we really should be desiring and are desiring to have that and to seek it every day. "It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring each child of God into an abiding holiness. For indeed, He is the Spirit of holiness. Everything is provided in Him for us to be one with Jesus Christ in every way." Everything. You know, why is it, you know, people look around and look around and look around for this and go to this church and go to that church trying to find something, and it's all right there, already been provided. Boy, that's important. And now the people who have been faithful to seek God and the people who have sought His empowerment in all things, they're going to get more than a double portion of that anointing. And we're going to see some things in this hour. "But years of tradition and unbelief have deluded many with the lie that holiness is but for a few special chosen ones of God." I don't know how much that's still going on, but that was certainly a key stronghold in the 19th century and maybe most of the 20th century. I don't know. But the fact is, no. You know, once a child once they're born again into the kingdom, then they're to live for God and live for God alone, not for themselves. "Three steps to receiving divine guidance by the Holy Spirit." It's really quite simple. Really quite simple. Number one, the child of God needs to surrender their whole heart and therefore be willing, or to be made willing if necessary, to do all the will of God for their life. I remember when I started out, I mean, I had a lot of places where I gave my heart wholly to God. You know, one day there in July 1980. I mean, there was no question about it. I didn't know very much of the Word, and I didn't know very much of anything I was finding out at that point. But I did know He gave me that prayer, and I prayed it. Well, 24 years later, He's still doing that work. But there's never been a departure from that. And the fact is that we need to give our whole heart by faith. He'll do the rest. he'll do the rest. And therefore, we need to surrender our whole heart, and therefore be willing to do all the will of God. Willing to do all the will of God for our life. Not portions, not one aspect, but not another, all. Because it all works together. I mean, that scripture says all things work together for good to those who love God. Well, you can, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me, you can put obey in there. There's no use. They don't just all work together for good and just do whatever you want. They don't work for good. Now, maybe in our early years, when we're ignorant of God's word, God's grace is upon us, mercy is upon us. But in these days, as this conflict of the kingdoms is mounting here and getting ready, you can just see the battle lines are being drawn. So now is the time for the people of God to be standing on the right side. Don't want to be standing on the other side of that line, because God's coming and there will be a take no prisoners. If people are aligned to rebellion, they'll receive the judgment that they themselves chose. They themselves declared by their words and actions upon themselves. This isn't God coming out of heaven to strike somebody. People are going to be hit where they are, where they've chosen to be. Very, very important. Number two, the child of God must be ever ready and willing at all times to obey or yield to even the simplest instruction given by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is where a sensitive heart comes in. I mean, I've had many experiences in my own life where just got myself a little over on the hardened part, and I heard the impression of the Holy Spirit, but, you know, you can just discount it off. I remember the one time I just arrived here in Kremlin, and I was down in Silverthorne, and the gas gauge in my car said 4 gallons left. Well, it's only a gallon and a half tops to get to Kremlin. So I'm coming out of the bank down there or something in Silverthorne, and I came out, and there's a gas station right there, and I just heard as clear as crystal the Holy Spirit said, turn in here and get some gas. I looked at the gas, 4 gallons. Four gallons? No, I can't. So anyway, having stopped at Green Mountain Reservoir and having Marty come and get me, I learned that, and I hate that when that happens too, you know. But it's a good lesson. I mean, but it's going to get a lot more critical in the days ahead. We're going to have to be sensitive. And then that clear, still small voice will be there, and we'll know it. We'll recognize it. Why? Because we're sheep. I mean, true sheep. Looking only to the one shepherd. I mean, that's the way it is. But I hate that. I can't remember any other examples, but I've had some dillies. And I went, oh. But nothing too serious, but just, you know, it's almost like God smiles at you after that. But, you know, it's going to get a little more critical. I mean, it's one thing to have that happen in boot camp. It's another thing to have that happen out in the battlefield. Number three, the child of God must have full and absolute trust in the Holy Spirit. And this can only be brought about through daily intimate fellowship with the Father and His Word. You see, it's to the degree that you trust the Father and His character. It's to the degree that you have a knowledge of His Word, revelation knowledge of His Word, that you will even have the right relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can't separate the three. They all go together. It's very, very important. It is of the utmost importance for every believer to fully realize that they in no way have the power to produce the desired effect of holiness in their life. That's a big one. I mean, that when people who are truly seeking God, I mean, God works and works and works and works, and, you know, things are exposed and exposed and exposed, and we find we didn't think we were striving, but somehow we were. Somehow we had a hold of some situation. Well, God knows that, and He's so faithful and graceful to those people who are truly seeking Him. That's not a problem. But like I said earlier, if people maintain a position of presumption, a position of mental ascension, they will enter into full-blown rebellion against the purposes of God. It happened in Jesus' ministry. That's where the Pharisees were, with hardened hearts, thinking they were in the will of God, thinking they were doing the purpose of God. And here comes the purpose of God. And they didn't even recognize it, nor will they in this last hour. Very, very important to realize. And, of course, the scripture that we need to have a revelation of. And this, again, is where the Spirit of the cross comes in. Who is the Holy Spirit? Romans 7:18, Amplified. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, Paul said. I know that nothing good dwells within me. Because you either know that nothing good dwells within you, or you think there will be something good in you. I mean, this may be a subtle thing,
But this is where this Holy Spirit does the deepest work of the cross in us for those who are truly seeking God. He's the only one that can root that out. There's no other way. No other way. But we need to know that we cannot accomplish the purpose of God. And you know, your life becomes a lot less complicated when you realize that as you obey God, you get into situations that are over your head, which is where He puts you. There's no, I mean, how are you going to learn to swim if you're standing on the beach? I mean, you really can't do that. So the fact is, you can't really learn to swim when you're up to your knees either. No, it's got to be over the head. That's where the ultimate test comes. You can even fake it for a while, you know, like swimming in shallow water, but eventually you're going to touch down. But out there, you're not touching down unless you're swimming. So the fact is that, you know, we need to come to that revelation and know that nothing good dwells in us. And that's not a condemnation thing or a negative thing at all. That was the catalyst that allowed Paul to enter in to the fullness of his ministry and to speak and to write the glorious revelations from the throne room. Because I'll tell you, if a person thinks there's something good in them, they're not going to. Why do they need to hear God from the throne room? They'll just make something up or think they have God and let the devil speak to them. No, we need to know that. Humility is still the key in this thing. And it's still the key. I read that first scripture I read in Psalm 25. It's the meek that will have discernment in this last hour. It's the meek that will know God and that will have the empowerment of His Spirit in this last hour. Meek does not mean weak. It just means humbled completely towards God, depending completely upon God. I'll do the rest of that verse. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. Now, you know, that's not a lesson that's learned in a day or two. That isn't, it's like, it's not even frustration after a while. It's like, this is the way it is. Like, you just realize that, no, I can't do this, because every one of us has experienced this. You get to a place where you think, okay, I got a fairly good handle on this, and you're seeking God, you're doing this and that, but you just take that step out to just try and do something, and all of a sudden, what looks like a sure thing just fails. I mean, and it fails very evidently. At least that's what happens with me. It doesn't take me long to find out that I thought I could do it my own strength. But of course, we don't want to do it in our own strength anyway. But there's always that desire, you know, that Andrew Murray once wrote, I love this statement because it really exemplifies the whole thing. He said the greatest inherent tendency of the flesh is to depart from grace. So, I mean, that's like a natural flow trying to drag us down. So we have to guard our hearts with all diligence so that we're not. But it certainly can happen. If the deepest desire of one's heart is truly to do the will of God, then as the Holy Spirit convicts them of any hardness of heart, that believer will inevitably be led into a situation where it will become obvious that they, in their own strength, are not able to cope. Anybody been there? This testing or trial will bring the child of God to the point of decision. And again, depending on the deepest motivation of their heart, they will either repent and forsake all that stands between God and themselves, or they will remain in rebellion against God and proceed directly into the great spiritual darkness which is encompassing the earth in this hour. Isaiah 60 was read on Sunday. Arise and shine. Your light has come. You know what verse 2 says? For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. Again, position. Darkness, absolute light. Everybody chooses to be in one of those two positions, but they're going to be in one of those two. And it's a dangerous place out there. Our life in Christ does not consist of imitating His example by our own strength and efforts, but rather it is living His life with His life. Or carrying out His ministry with His life, thus allowing Him to possess our entire being as we remain in a continued state of yieldedness. That's a key word, yieldedness. It's like, you know, you're driving, you come up to a corner, and, you know, you yield. You yield to what's coming. You do what the necessary thing in that time. And it really speaks of a sensitivity of heart that we need to have, because life is a lot easier when you're walking in rest. You know, when you've ceased striving for your own works and you're in a perpetual state of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. It's like you see the Holy Spirit, you yield. It's a natural or supernatural inclination that's provided by God. The child of God who, because of the pureness of their heart toward God, is able to see the all-encompassing evil of the old nature is greatly blessed. For they will no longer seek to justify themselves before God or man, and this will lead them directly into a full and absolute dependence on the Spirit of God for all things and away from the darkened understanding of the flesh. Again, there is an automatic empowerment that kicks in if we just position ourselves properly in obedience to God. It's different for whatever is required is different for each child of God. I mean, where he wants you, the time of fellowship, the time you rise, whatever. But it will be initiated by the Holy Spirit and brought to a fullness by the Holy Spirit. And it will keep us away from that impulse to walk out our own understanding, to try and figure out something, even the Word of God in our own strength. And I'm telling you, we're being prepared for a time. We're not going to have time to stop around and say, oh, isn't this wonderful what's going on? It's going to be nonstop supernatural to the catch and wing of the church. Oh, we'll be blessed. There's no question about that. But we're going to keep moving until we're right out of here, until this earth can't hold us anymore. Galatians 2:20. I better go over there. It's funny, sometimes when the Lord leads you to these verses again, you kind of, it's brought back to your remembrance when the times when you first read it. And, you know, of course, it was wonderful then, but we had very little understanding of what was going on. But in these days, there's just a reality of these words, or an absoluteness of these words being imparted to those people whose hearts are wholly given to God. And they're just going to be, it's like they're emblazoned in our heart, and they will empower us right through the end of the age if we'll just receive them and take them, because they're very, very clear. So Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live. He's speaking from the place of revelation. He's not just making a comment or a statement. He's speaking from a place of heart revelation. This has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So he says, the life which I now live in this earthly body, I live by faith. I live by divine faith. I live by divine empowerment. And so, therefore, Christ lives in me. Very, very important. We're going to be walking in this in a degree we never thought possible, this side of heaven. That's for sure. The more definitely and thoroughly the heart of the believer is surrendered or yielded to the Holy Spirit, the greater and more pronounced their spiritual growth will become. And sometimes we don't even recognize the spiritual growth. I used to liken spiritual growth to sitting in a backyard and looking at a tree grow. You know, a small tree that's been planted. Well, you know, you can't see that tree grow when you're sitting there watching it, but you come back in 5 years and you're going to see a marked difference. And so it doesn't matter what we see and what we don't see. Oh, we'll get glimpses. I always liken it to God having a carrot and a stick, and he just kind of pulls it along, and we keep falling after. And eventually, you know, we see that God has done a great things in us, because when a certain situation arises, the way we used to react to that situation was no longer there. Rather, there was a spontaneous reaction in love in that situation. As the Holy Spirit works in any given area of our lives where sin exists, and they continue, as the Holy Spirit works in any given area of their lives where sin exists, and they continue to allow his light to expose any darkness in their hearts, he will supernaturally remove those areas, that would be ground of fear, perhaps, which had plagued them and kept them from closer fellowship with the Father and Son. So you see, if people want to have proper fellowship with God, then the empowerment is there as they reach out or move out towards God in faith, regardless of what they feel like or how scared they are even, maybe. The Holy Spirit's there to draw them in close and keep them there if they choose. See, I mean, even people who try to fellowship with God in their own strength run into serious problems. They get fellowship, but it's not with the right God. Every child of God must learn to walk in the Spirit, for then and only then will they not seek in some way to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And see, now I'm not talking about the obvious things, although that can be the case. I'm talking about a very subtle maneuver of the enemy, to just prey upon the flesh, try to get it to move, try to cause it to move in some way, because the more people practice that, the stronger the desire becomes to lean in your own understanding and so on, or whatever else that may be. So you see, it's you're either spiraling one way or spiraling another, but you're not stationary. You're doing one thing or the other. And this is where the principle of sowing and reaping comes, of course. You know, if you're going to sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap death and darkness. You know, you can't sow to the Spirit over a continued amount of time and not expect to reap death and darkness in some form in your life. And we aren't those people. We need to be those who sow to the Spirit. And just the same way, when you keep sowing to the Spirit and you keep walking in faith and patience, you will inherit the promises. You will experience life, whether you feel it or not. You know, we are a people who are being trained to walk above the sense realm. Our final authority will be a revelation of God's word. Oh, you're going to have good feelings. But that's not our final authority. So that's very, very important. Faith is key in this hour, and that's why the danger of a natural faith passing for a spiritual faith is wrong, or divine faith. Every believer must desire above all else to be filled and consumed by the Holy Spirit, for then and only then will there be no more room or allowance for self-will or self-desire. I mean, that's a reality. I'll just finish with this. The essential condition of the life of holiness is the steadfast maintenance of our close fellowship with the Father and His Word and implicit obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's it. When you walk in that, I'm not talking about mistakes, it doesn't make any difference. When you're seeking that, you ultimately will be kept by the empowerment of God, by the long arm of the Lord, in that perfect place. I'll continue on with this the next Tuesday teaching, but let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word, and we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, tonight I just ask a special blessing upon this entire congregation. Give us a deeper revelation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and cause Him to move in great ways in our lives in these days. And we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.